We now take you into the 1960s. Timothy, anything in your research about, at that point, the newly elected John F. Kennedy and his knowledge of UFOs or things that he might want to reveal prior to his assassination?
Absolutely. I mean, for the first time, I was lucky to speak to a White House staff member at the time of that administration who knew Kennedy rather well. And I was able to acquire a considerable body of information, which I can share. I have published it in the book. This is what I've learned. Around 1961 to 1962, I'm quoting here my source.
Okay.
President Kennedy expressed a wish to see the alien bodies associated with an alien crash site. He had obviously been informed of their existence and wished to see for himself the evidence. General McHugh was in charge of the arrangements at the time, and Air Force One was used to take Kennedy and other top brass on this visit. The purpose of the flight was closely guarded. However, the reason for Kennedy's flight became evident to senior personnel on board through unguarded comments and the whispering which went on. Remember that even the pilots were members of the White House staff, ex-military, and trusted implicitly. Originally, the alien bodies were located at Patterson or Peterson Air Force Base and later moved to Tyndall Air Force Base, Florida, near Pensacola. These comments are from the horse's mouth, a person who was close to Kennedy at the time and a member of the White House staff. Since any alien evidence has been covered up for as long as rumor has existed, the United States authorities are unlikely to admit their complicity or make information available to you. There is clearly an international agreement in force between all governments to withhold information on alien and UFO phenomena. Well, that is essentially the information I acquired and subsequently learnt just a little bit more as well, which, again, I have published in the book. But essentially, that's it.
Do you think that had anything to do with, and I'm sure it wasn't just it, but anything to do with his assassination? The fact that maybe one day he wanted to go public with this?
I can only give my own opinion, George. I have no information. I do think so, yes. And here's for why. You may remember the famous Maury Island incident several days before Kenneth Arnold's sighting in June of 1947, when this craft was seen allegedly spewing bits of wreckage and everything appeared to be in trouble. The principal investigator of that case was a guy called Fred Chrisman, who had been a counterintelligence agent for a number of agencies, United States Air Force Intelligence, CIA as well. Just coincidentally, he was one of the three tramps picked up at the Dealey Plaza. Do you remember those tramps?
Oh, he was one of them?
He was one of them, Fred Chrisman.
Well, now, what are the odds of that happening?
Exactly.
That's amazing.
And he was heavily into counterintelligence involving the UFO subject. So I've just mentioned that as an aside in the book, in the reference section.
I also wonder, Timothy, if on that plane flight to go witness the bodies, the creatures, if Kennedy brought Marilyn Monroe with him, because there have always been rumors that she was going to say something, and that's why they possibly did her in.
Yes. Well, I have no evidence regarding that, but I do find her death very suspicious, that's for sure.
Back to the 60s through 2006, and of course we'll get into the many things that have been going on in this time period. But you mentioned a little bit about a Hollywood actor, Stuart Whitman, whom I used to remember. I don't know if he's still alive or not.
I don't know. Maybe you could find out. Maybe you could get him on the program.
Yeah, I matter of fact, I'll find out within minutes while you and I are talking if he's alive or not.
Yes.
But he communicated with UFOs.
Yes, this was during the famous power cut. Do you remember?
That was in 65.
November 9th, 1965.
Yeah.
It was definitely caused by UFO activity, in my opinion, and it was the opinion of professionals like Dr. James McDonald, for example, as he pointed out in a hearing before the House Committee on Science and Astronautics, that how a UFO could trigger such an outage on a large power network is not clear, but this is a disturbing series of coincidences because because that there were UFOs seen at that time. Anyway, Whitman was alone in his hotel room in New York City during that blackout, and he says he was awoken just before dawn by a whistling sound. I think he said it was similar to a whippoorwill. And two strange objects could be seen outside of the window, and one of them was orange and the other blue. They gave off strange luminescent light, so I couldn't see if they were portholes or what. Then I heard them speaking to me as if they were on a loudspeaker. They spoke to me in English. It may not have been audible to anyone else. I was probably tuned into the right wavelength. They said they wanted to talk to me because I appeared to have no malice or hate in my soul. They said they were fearful of Earth because Earthlings were messing around with unknown quantities and might disrupt the balance of the universe or their planet. They said the blackout was just a little demonstration of their power and that they could do a lot more with almost no effort. It served as a warning. They said they could stop our whole planet from functioning. They asked me to do what I could to fight malice, prejudice, and hate on Earth, and then they took off. I felt elated. I wasn't even shocked. I was standing by the window and awake the entire time. I don't know why they picked me as a contact, but I'll swear off a Bible that I saw them out there and that they talked with me.
He's 80 years old, so he's still alive out there.
Great.
Maybe we'll try to find him. That would be an incredible story.
Yes.
I will try, and we'll get him on the program.